Little Hand says it's time to rock and roll.
Bring the noise.
Hasta la vista, baby.
Welcome to Earth.
We came, we saw, we kicked its ass.
Bond. James Bond.
Pop quiz, hot shot.
Your move, creep.
Get off my plane.
Get your ass to Mars.
I feel mean. The knees hurt me.
I'm your huckleberry.
Please do, we cut the kick back and hole.
Hey, motherfucker.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to the EverythingNashCast, which is our podcast for January 9th, 2017. I'm your host, Zach. This time we have Chris.
Hello.
And Joe.
Hey, hey.
And we have actual news this week, because I guess everyone's back from the holidays or whatever, so...
Because fuck you, it's January.
Yeah, for, like, people actually are doing their jobs, I guess, now, and putting stuff out, so we have a bunch of stuff to talk about for this second podcast of the year. So let's dive right in. We got some trailers to talk about, to kick things off. And, we got the, it's not a full trailer, but it's like a longer look at, Cars 3. After that horrific teaser trailer that, like, basically looks like they were gonna, like, murder Lightning McQueen.
You wanna know how cars die? Find out now!
Can they die?
I have no idea.
That's one of the disturbing questions of the Cars universe. And this question, this movie raises even more disturbing questions.
Well, we know cars are, those cars get emotional and, like, have, like, suicidal tendencies and shit, but, like, this is even weirder.
I mean, we still have, like, the, like, immortal, disturbing questions of, like, who builds the cars?
How do they eat?
Do cars, because we've seen car children, are they just children their whole lives? Do cars grow? Do cars get old because there's, like, the Paul Newman car?
Right, but then, like, new cars just happen because one car is, like, super futuristic that just showed up.
The plot of the Cars 3 is that there is a new, like, super fast, super high-tech new rookie car named Jackson Storm, who's voiced by Armie Hammer, who is, like, basically destroying Lightning in all the races, and, like, Lightning is, like, is too old to be winning anymore. But then he gets, like, he gets help from, like, this young trainer who's, like, this young car who's, like, gonna help him train and, like, win one last championship or something.
I didn't see Cars 2, like, you know, Spy Hard Edition, whatever it was. So.
Mater's Wild Ride.
So, I'm like, what happened to, like, the Miata woman that was there?
Oh, like, the lawyer car?
Yeah. Just written out?
Yeah.
Wow.
I don't, like, there's no Mater in this trailer either, so maybe this is like...
Is Larry the Cable Guy still in it?
I mean, I'm sure there's gonna be Mater, but it seems like they're, like, toning him way down after, like,
I've never seen Cars, so I don't know, I didn't know that was...
You've never seen Cars?
What no,
is
I'm
your
an adult.
World like?
I have not seen it.
How you also not hear the did you even hear the theme song at the time? Like the
Well,
fucking...
obviously, like, okay. The highway, that cover by the Rascal Flatts.
Yeah, I'm just wondering, how did you avoid it? Because I'm just like...
No, I didn't avoid that. I just didn't see the movie. In fact, I think that song was one of the driving factors in me not seeing the movie.
Yeah. I mean, the first Cars is okay. I mean, it's not like... It's definitely not top tier Pixar, but it's like it's charming. But then the second one is just like an abomination of market of like commercialism and like selling as many Mater toys as possible, and it's like unleashing like full Larry the Cable Guy.
Kids were not ready for that.
It was Minions. It was basically the Minions of the Cars. It was just like because in the first movie, like, Mater was like, he was just like this sidekick character that was like
slash just, town like yokel,
yeah, who was he was funny in some very small doses, but then it's just like, let's give him his own movie.
Yeah, nothing
the kids love him.
Yeah, nothing warrant that character to be like, you deserve the focus now.
And definitely didn't warrant him being like a spy car, like stopping like some sort of like bizarre like European conspiracy that also involved like a Michael Caine car.
See, how's there fucking like King. See, okay, if you're all cars and stuff, like, how do they go on planes to travel to, like, the UK? Oh my god, this makes no sense.
Because those planes movies are in the Cars universe, just Pixar didn't make them. Just farmed them out to, like...
Is there, like, a social hierarchy? Because, I mean, the planes can't take cars.
That's...
So are the planes, like, the slaves of the Cars universe?
Yeah, I mean that's one of the that's why Cars is the most disturbing movie universe you can imagine. Yeah, like
I forgot the spinoff had Dane Cook in it as a fucking plane.
Yeah, but Lightning drive Lightning doesn't drive himself to races. He has a truck that drives him around called Mac,
and who's alive?
Who's also alive?
And it hurts to breathe.
And Lightning lives in his trailer. So it's like Lightning lives in the body of another being.
But, they also have, tires aren't part of them. Tires are, shoes to them, but, yeah.
But they also have doors, and it's why, if there's no humans in this universe, why do they have doors and windows and, fuel tank, gas covers, why is there, human gas pumps? It's this universe is, a post-apocalyptic universe where, the cars, took over from humanity.
Right, but instead of rebuilding it and in a new image, they continued the trend of just technology that still involves humans. Yeah. And they're
there's non-intelligent cow cars and insect cars.
No goddamn rhyme and reason. But I'm just there's a third, and I'm just I'm intrigued because this is gonna be new shit.
This one seems kind of grounded, I guess, as grounded as a movie about living cars could be.
Well, I mean,
and back to the roots of totally getting away from movie. Yeah,
it's about a racing movie.
And yeah, it's about Days of Thunder for kids.
Yeah, that's exactly that. It's going towards let's go back to basics and go back to the target market, which was NASCAR fans. So
yeah,
I'm all right, and in my head, I always thought it'd be Talladega Nights, the Ballad of Ricky Bobby.
Mm-hmm.
But, it took a total different approach when Paul Newman was in it. And I was okay, cool. It's better than I thought. And now it's I have no idea, besides Owen Wilson, who anyone else is, really.
Well, Armie Hammer is the evil car. And then,
See, but Michael Keaton was an evil car. So it's it's really hard. No one really, evil car is a secondary almost. Or even attritionary. He's not, the focus.
I don't know. We'll see what's going on. I think it's out in I believe June this summer.
Sure.
I'm trying to remember if Pixar is doing two movies again this year. I think they are doing two movies a year since a couple years ago. I can't remember what the other one is, but yeah, this is their summer one. So
they should just start naming movies summer one.
The summer one.
Yeah.
You'll buy. You know, you're buying your tickets.
The 2017 summer movie.
Your kids are bringing you this.
Oh, you thought you were sleeping in Saturday? That's cute.
Yeah.
9 o'clock matinee of this fucking ridiculous children's movie.
So we also got the first trailer for the Chips movie, which is a thing.
Did we just forget to talk about this?
They announced it a while ago, and there just hasn't been anything until yesterday.
it's a done movie.
Yeah,
I thought it was in pre-production or middle production. I was I had no idea who was starring in it. I think we might have joked about it, and it's a joke that became true.
We're firmly in the wake of 22 Jump Street, where it's those are so huge successes. Now we're finally getting the movies that are trying to rip that movie off. They've been in production for a few years, Baywatch and this year, and then there's probably gonna be even more on the way if these do good. We'll get an Airwolf movie or something, or
don't joke.
Go even farther back. Random 60s and 70s shows are gonna get
fucking TJ Hooker.
Yep. Oh, that's inevitable. That's gonna happen at some point. I'm gonna put money on that. Shatner's gonna be the new chief, and there's gonna be a new TJ Hooker, and then it'll just be 212 Jump Street.
I like how you mentioned that, and it sounded like the internet was eating your voice on that for me. I maybe got bad connection, but you started getting digitized. As if you angered the internet gods.
Yeah.
They're like, don't say it, you'll make it true.
Wah, 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 wah.
It was the pure evil of
Not sure you're going to hear that, but for us, that was like, oh, fuck, we're summoning something.
It's probably fine on my end. Everything sounds fine. But anyway, this Chips movie, it was written, directed, and co-starring Dax Shepard, who's playing John Baker. And then Michael Pena is playing Ponch, taking over for Eric Estrada. But now, since it's a modern remake, they have to make it more complicated than the original. So Ponch is now an undercover FBI agent who's like investigating like corrupt California Highway Patrol officers.
Okay.
Like, I get the need to spice it up, but it's one of those things where it's like we've been so long without these characters that they could just be like anything.
Mm-hmm.
Like they could have been like they were chefs and now they became police patrol. And you're just fuck it, whatever. You know, like let's just see them ride bikes and just get the core concepts done.
Yeah. Oh, it looks like every sort of like motorcycle thing you could possibly like. There's like street bikes and dirt bikes and just every kind of motorcycles in this movie.
Yeah, I mean, anything with two wheels, they're just riding. And I get that, because they it's about biking, and it's like, I feel like if you're into bike jokes, this is it. This is your movie.
Bike jokes and dude crotch jokes, because that's the only jokes.
Yeah, it's just a lot of crotches,
zooming in on people, on like, junk in tidy ways.
Like, dicks, like, bobbing each other. I'm like, wait, this is PG-13?
No, it's R. IMDb says it's R, so apparently. But this show does not seem like it's R at all. Like this should, it probably should have been Red Band trailer, but it was on Jimmy Kimmel, so they obviously clicked on that. But like, it's definitely
just saying,
Red Band trailer.
It's like what? Because the trailer we saw, I was like, this is a weird 13. It's just like fuck it. Like as long as there aren't tits, but like you know, underwear dicks could be bumping. Like fuck it.
Yeah.
Like, oh.
As long as there's no skin contact, it's fine.
It's totally fine.
Yeah.
As long as you don't say no homo at the end, totally good.
Yep. And Vincent D'Onofrio is like the evil California evil bike cop. Maya Rudolph looks like the like California Highway Patrol chief.
Was she like a character like in the show?
No one knows, Chris. no one who cares is alive anymore.
Like, does Eric Estrada know this movie came out? Because I feel like he would have been, like, on a...
I'm sure he'll have a cameo at some point. I think Larry Wilcox is also around still, so I'm sure they'll both be in it, just like 21 Jump Street style or Starsky and Hutch style. But yeah, so anyway, it's on March. It definitely looks inferior to Baywatch. But yeah, get ready for more 70s and 80s shows getting turned into R-rated comedies.
The future is then.
Member? Member Chips? Member Poncherelli?
Like, how's Happy Days not, like, lined up?
Yeah,
Happy Days,
yeah.
Fucking movie.
Mm-hmm. And then we also got some Netflix show trailers that are for some upcoming shows. Actually, I think next week they're both dropping. But trailer for Voltron Season 2, which the first season was awesome. I don't know if either of you guys have seen that yet, but it was like a just crazy update of like the original and actually made it like an actual story and not just like five shows cut together with like actual characters and. It's pretty awesome Voltron action, so more of that coming in Season 2. And then we also got the trailer for Frontier, which is a Jason Momoa starring miniseries, it's gonna be 6 episodes next Friday, where he is just this crazy guy in the woods of, like, the 1800s, like, just, like, trying to, like, kill, like destroy the East India or, like, the East India Fur Trading Company or something, or, like, disrupting the fur trade of America. And it's actually weird, like, I'll talk about it later in Show and Tell, but, like, basically the plot of that show looks almost the same as the plot of Taboo.
Yeah, well, it just seems like don't piss off, like, fur traders.
Or just, like, the East Indian Company is just, like, targets for, like, crazed lunatics who are just like looking for revenge.
It's like, if you know someone who's been in the woods for a while, yeah, they're not going to come back the same person. That's just like a rule of thumb now.
But I think in Frontier, like, well, actually, that's the same statement too. Like, it's like Jason Momoa's father's like a British, or like a either like American or British, and then like his mother is like a native person, which is the same as Taboo.
I feel like they found, like, someone found the script somewhere, and then yeah, they split it off into, like, two different things. Like, one's a TV show version, one's a movie version.
Well, I mean, they're both TV shows, Chris, but...
like one is a super, like, British version, then one's gonna be, like, a Jason Momoa, like, fucking vehicle.
Just, like, ripping people apart with his bare hands.
Yeah. Remember when I used to be, like, a weird, like, Asian warlord? Like, sure.
It looks pretty cool. Like, it's me six episodes. It's not gonna take that long to watch that. So that could be like you could binge that all next weekend. But yeah, Netflix, just like, it's gonna be like every week there's gonna be at least two new original shows or something, or like a movie, because they're doubling down on original content. But in other news, we got some DC Cinematic Universe news. The Green Lantern Corps movie got some writers and some characters are going to be involved. So so David Goyer and I forget who the other guy is, but yeah, basically David Goyer is like going to be like leading the writing for that movie. And then it's going to feature Hal Jordan and Jon Stewart as like a lethal weapon in space.
This sounds terrible. Like, again, they're shortcutting, and that didn't work in Batman vs. Superman. I don't know why they would think it would work here.
Yeah, no casting news, no release date news. It's going to be, like, I think the original plan was, like, 2020 or something. It was, like, pretty far off. They're just, like, it was, like, an afterthought of, like, their, like, release lineup. But now it's been, like, and Green Lantern sometime.
I don't know what to tell you.
Mm-hmm. It's kind of cool that we're getting Hal Jordan and Jon Stewart, but...
Well, that's extremely weird. Just the fact that they said, we're going for Lethal Weapon, like, that's oddly specific.
Yes.
And also super inappropriate for a Green Lantern movie, I feel like.
Well, they are space cops, but...
Yeah, they're space cops, but they're not going to be like, you're one crazy son of a... Whoa! You know?
Hal Jordan just being like, I'm too old for this shit, even though I'm, like, 30.
I don't know, man. That just has me worried. Like, I just feel like the DC Cinematic Universe, it's like, it's all right fucking in front of you. Like, all you have to do is make good decisions. But it seems like they're in the room, and it's like, should we make this good decision? Or should we make a bad decision? And they're like, yeah. Let's roll the dice. Let's make a bad decision. Let's do the exact opposite. Of what would be sensible.
What if all the men were women, and what if the women were men? Yeah.
Oh, now you're talking.
All female Green Lantern Corps.
That'll get the broads riled up. I don't understand. I don't claim to understand. I don't really want to understand.
Mm-hmm.
But it is what it is.
It's coming.
We'll see. That, well, it's just like this, like, public, like, Batman drama with Ben Affleck, like, he's super smart doing what he's doing because he knows the only way that he's going to get them to change is to just, like, constantly, you know, threaten them over and over, basically being like, yeah, I don't need this movie. Like, I won my Academy Award. I got my paycheck for being Batman already. Like,
I got my kids. I got my money. I got my back tattoo. It's all good.
Well, seriously, I mean, he doesn't need to direct this movie, you know? He could just be, you know, Batman in someone else's movie, for that matter. All I'm saying is that by publicly, like, shaming it, he's actually being, you know, very smart.
He's like, I'm not the Batman this movie needs.
But the other DC Cinematic Universe news is that the Wonder Woman villain has probably been revealed as Ares, which is pretty much kind of a no-brainer.
Oh man, I hope it's the guy that played Ares from like the Xena show.
wasn't it like Kevin Nash or something? Or no, that was like, I feel like it was someone like a wrestler or something.
He looked like a wrestler, that guy. He just had like long hair and a beard.
Yeah,
like that's pretty much was like mostly 90s wrestlers, like late 90s wrestlers. But yeah, like it's cool. Like I don't know, I'm not a big freak.
Well, considering it's like it's taking place during World War I, like you'd think like the God of War would be kind of interested in that.
Yeah.
So,
I mean, like he wins because he comes back because World War II happened. So what, you know, she dropped the ball for World War II.
Yeah, well, still not official yet because like it was from some like really shady like Italian website. That was just, like they had to get like Google translated from like French or something. It was like this fifth hand of like movie has God War Ares as the person.
Just like it just says like, you know, La Wonder Woman Casperoso. Like,
yeah.
Like what website is this? I feel like if you go to those websites, they give you a virus.
Probably. Other DC news, Injustice 2 got a release date. It's coming out May 16th this year.
I only played the demo of the first game. It basically told me everything I needed to know.
I played the story mode of the first game, which was pretty cool. Like, it was basically, like, it was just, if you like Mortal Kombat 9 or XL, or X, then, like, it was just that with DC characters, so.
Yeah, I don't know. Like I'm saying, like I played the demo, I was like, oh, a clunky fighting game, cool.
Mm-hmm.
Like I didn't need to buy it, but it seemed like it was fun in small doses.
And this one's gonna, like, as far as new characters, it's gonna have Supergirl, Blue Beetle, Deadshot, Gorilla Grodd, and Atrocitus. And it looks like there's something with, like everyone's going to have, like, armor or something, and, like, maybe, like, there's some sort of, like, weird, like, armor thing that's going to play into it.
I mean, that it's neat, but it just seems really unnecessary for certain characters that aren't Batman, you know?
Like why would Superman need armor?
Yeah, like, why would he need more gear when, like, I don't know, he just wears, like, shirts, and he's just fine? Like, I guess, like, if you are taking on Superman, yeah, you're going to need armor, like, so you don't just explode when he, like, punches you. And it's a cool concept, like, but it just makes, like, if you're already, like, awesome, it makes you, like, fucking unstoppable.
Makes you super awesome.
Only because, like, Batman wearing armor was, like, one of the first DC characters that, like, had to put on armor to take on, like, basically, like, you know, demigods. And when, like, the Flash puts on armor, I'm just like, isn't the Speed Force protecting him? Like, isn't that how it works?
Probably, yeah.
I'm pretty sure the armor would just, like, add wind resistant, which is, like, terrible for a fast guy.
Well, whatever, that was what, like, Batman v Superman Flash, like, whatever he was wearing, like, he has, like, weird armor. Justice 2 coming in May. I don't know. Maybe, hopefully they'll have like a demo again or something so we can check it out. But over on the CW DC Universe side of things, all four shows got renewed for another season.
Yay!
Definitely the bigger news is that there's going to be a... on CW Seed, there's going to be a Constantine animated series.
Seed.
It'll probably it's probably gonna be like the Vixen show, although hopefully like slightly longer episodes, because like those Vixen episodes are like a minute long each. So basically by the end of the season, it's like you get like one 15-minute long episode, like one 22-minute long episode.
Oh, so that means like it's like even it's gonna be almost as depressing when his first show got canceled, and then it just like, well, we didn't renew like the cartoon series. You're like, wow, well, this is even shorter.
Hopefully this is just like a test of like, can we get Constantine back, like can we get a Constantine show back on like the CW, or have him show up a lot more.
Like, have him show up a lot more would be, like, way more helpful than, like, let's build that. Like, have him more cameo. Have him be, like, I don't know, like, a person that gets stuck at Star City or something.
Yeah.
Don't do this weird, like, hey, fans, remember this from, like, 3 years ago? She's like, what?
Yeah, obviously Matt Ryan's coming back to voice Constantine on this. Greg Berlanti and David S. Goyer are producing it and writing it, so...
Hats off to him for keeping with the franchise, but like he's the only
Constantine now. It's the only person you need.
He's the only Constantine, but like he's not doing anything else. It's not like he had another project lined up. He's just like hanging out, waiting for roles. So mm-hmm. It's just like, geez.
Well, we got Justice League Dark coming in like a month or two here, I think, and then the show, and then. Hopefully this does well. They'll be like, "Oh, Constantine is back. Is joining the CW." And then last bit of DC CW news: the villain for the Supergirl Flash musical episode has been confirmed as whatever I suspected it was, which is the Music Meister.
I hate everything.
You think they're getting Patrick Harris back?
Well, when he did it for, like, the Batman or whatever, the Brave and the Bold, I think he did.
Isn't that the only appearance of Music Meister ever? It's like that.
The Brave and the Bold. No, yeah, Brave and the Bold is the one where they had him, and it's, like, a musical thing. And the Brave and the Bold, it worked, because, you know, no one really died in that one, but, like, it's weird to see Supergirl Flash and just, like, now everyone's singing. You're just like, well, whatever credibility they established so far is now, like, being tested.
And how is the music Meister like an interdimensional threat? Like,
well, because it's like he can use his power for like way more fucked up shit, because he's kind of like a mind wave guy.
Yeah, he's like a musical Purple Man kind of, like he can just like, do whatever.
And all he wants to do is fucking like steal your shit and make you sing. Like that, you know, like that's not terrible. It's just kind of like, well, he doesn't know how powerful he is, but fuck it.
Yeah, comparatively, they're worse villains.
It's not like he walks in and goes, everyone get naked! Like, you know what I mean? Like, it's not like he has that kind of... He could, but he's just like, I don't know, like, tunes.
He's simple.
Yeah, well,
like, everyone sing, yay!
He's got to write the songs. It, like, takes more effort for him to, like... He can't just be like Purple Man and be like, just, like, say things. He's like, come up with the entire, like, song.
Yeah, like, he makes musicals for people to act towards, and it's not like... He fucking just, like, I don't know, opens up an iPod and goes, like, well, this is where everyone's, like, rehearsing. Like, this is it. You know what I mean? He's, like, the Riddler.
This is my bank robbing song. It's just, I'm going to queue up here.
But it's, like, unique every time. You know what I mean? Like, that's that's amazing. And it's, like, no one's had the balls to tell him, like, hey, man, like, you don't have to do this. You can just make everyone just, like, leave. Like, you can just be, like, I'm robbing this place. He's not like the Riddler, you know what I mean? Like, I figure, like, the Riddler came first, and then whoever, like, made the Music Man was like, I got one better. Like, it makes people fucking sing, and they don't like it.
Riddles? Ha! Huh. Behold the power of song. And all its majesty.
But yeah, that's going to be later in the spring for a crossover with those shows, so...
That's good. It's not like the first like season opener. Like what? Like, you know, like season one.
Season finale.
Of the new season. Yeah, season finale is this fucking musical act.
Yeah. Over on the Marvel side of things, we got the first look at the Defenders, because they're in the most recent. Here's in this week it's out, the most recent Entertainment Weekly has a cover story about the Defenders with the first look, and they have a video on their, like a behind the scenes video on their site. It's basically, yeah, so the first time the Defenders are together in one photo or a bunch of photos.
Yeah, that's the like first look. It's not like, oh my god, this incredible thing happened. It's like, hey, group shot.
Yep. They revealed that Sigourney Weaver's character is named Alexandra, and that's the only thing they said about her.
Ooh, revealing.
Yeah.
And, now, is that the sort of thing they wanted to give away this early, or?
I wonder if she's actually going to be like
being very sarcastic.
Yeah, I wonder if she's an actual character, like comic character, or if it's just like just random character we made up. Because they've had like actual comic villains in all these shows, so and then it would be weird if it's just like, we're up against Alexandra. She's very mean,
super bitchy.
She's a businesswoman.
Business.
We also found out the show's going to start in is going to be debuting in the summer, which I think is a lot sooner than everyone thought it was going to be. I think everyone thought it was going to be like the fall, but it's coming out in the summer sometime. It seems very close to like Iron Fist, because Iron Fist is like March, and then like a couple months later, like Defenders is going to start. So, who knows? But yeah, just check out Entertainment Weekly for more details if you want, or like that behind the scenes video for little tidbits. But other TV news. We had a bunch of like premiere dates, especially from FX. Just let me just get that up. But yeah, so Archer is going to be back on April 5th on FXX now. And it's going to be the crazy Archer Dreamland season, which is all, it's going to be all the crazy noir.
See, that's the beauty of Archer, is that you could change, like, a major thing, like, the fucking setting of times and stuff, and it's still, like, watchable. It's not like I saw that and went, ugh, like, why am I watching a 40s Archer? I'm just like, cool.
Yep.
Because the writing and, like, just the dialogue and, like, just the humor is so good, it can translate, like, on errors. I get it.
That's also the beauty of being moved to FXX, is that they just give, like, negative fucks right now. You know, they're like, fuck it. Like, we know we're going out. Like, they've announced that the show's ending, so
like,
they can basically do whatever they want.
Seasons,
and then just
two or three more seasons, I think they said.
Yeah, I mean, the last, like, half of the final season, they can, you know, wrap up the actual Archer narrative, you know?
Yeah.
Archer just, like, I don't know, becomes, like, a real ISIS terrorist, and he's like, whatever.
And then The Americans is going to be back March 7th, and that show's also announced that's going to end in, like, two more seasons, I think.
The Americans?
The Americans. The best show no one's watching.
Yeah, it is the best show. I'll watch it when it's done.
I'll watch it when I'm dead.
Like, I feel like The Americans is, like, another, like, it's keeping the money in FX. It's just, they just stopped marketing that movie. Like, they went hard for, like, the, like, 2011 or, no, 2013 Comic-Con, when they did that huge Americans promotion thing. Mm-hmm. And people still ask, like, is it still set in the 80s? Like, yep. It's like, oh. You lost me.
They should do at least one, like, super fancy promo before the season starts. Like, a 80s song themed promo with like where they're like walking through like the Soviet signal but all guns or something, like some,
yeah.
they always do like some like crazy like promo thing.
They always do like as if like spouses were cheating, like that was like the first two seasons where it's like
infidelity.
It's kind of like
lies.
Yeah, just like I feel like the marketing team like didn't understand the whole show where it's like, why is she leaving her house at night? And just like, spy work? Yeah, just like,
Because spies? Like,
yeah, because spies. It's like, oh. And then it got really cryptic about just like,
can the Americans, like, can the spies betray each other? Can he spy, like, triple spy? What?
Triple cross.
And I just, like, I'll watch it. I watch, like, weird promotional shots or, like, the, like, premiere commercials, and it's like, they're still, like, not caught. Okay, these were good spies, then.
Oh, they're the best. They're the best spies.
They're the best spies no one's ever heard of.
That's why they're the best. But, also, the new FX show, Feud, which is the latest from Ryan Murphy, which is going to be about the Bette Davis-Joan Crawford feud on the set of Whatever Happened to Baby Jane, is going to be March 5th.
Oh my god. I've only seen parts of What Happened to Baby Jane, but it's like, there's real hatred in that fucking movie.
Mm-hmm. And Jessica Lange and Susan Sarandon are going to be playing Bette Davis and Joan Crawford, and it's basically just going to be like crazy behind the scenes battling. And Atlanta probably won't be back until 2018 because Donald Glover is shooting the Han Solo movie. So
once he got that contract deal, just like pause.
Mm-hmm. So other TV news. Some pretty big news about Better Call Saul season 3. Gus Fring is gonna be back. Giancarlo Esposito. They put out like a Los Polos Hermanos commercial to like is like sure a promo. And they've hinted at it at the, like very subtly during the last season, but he's definitely gonna be back for this upcoming season. He'll probably meet Mike for the first time, because that's definitely where Mike's plot is heading.
Mike Begins.
Be funny if like it'll just some timeline where like he dies and like you better call Saul. Like, his other side of his face blows off. I'm just like, what?
It's like his twin brother. It's not Gus. It's like his...
Yeah.
Oh, you met my brother?
Yeah, man. Didn't tell you about my twin. That's why we're Los Homos Hermanos, because there's two of us. Two brothers. You're like, ah, shit. So many layers.
Two brothers.
You thought it was just, like, me and my weird, like... Protege chemist? No, two Gus's.
Mm-hmm.
Two. It's fucking what would you call it?
Twins.
The Prestige. Yeah. It's the fucking Prestige.
Yeah.
Of meth dealers.
Yeah, I think Better Call Saul is back in like March or April this year. So definitely looking forward to that one. That's one of the best shows.
Oh yeah.
So it's like. Somehow it's as good as Breaking Bad. Like, it's like...
Oh, it definitely is.
Yeah, it's like...
Now this is season 3, so, I mean, for Breaking Bad, at least, that's where it started to really, like, pick up, where it's like, okay, good, you know everyone, you care about everyone now. Mm-hmm. All right, now watch as we make the world fall apart around you.
Yep.
You know?
It's definitely set up at the end of the season 2.
Oh, you're goddamn right it was.
Yeah. And then other... TV news, the Coen brothers are going to be coming to TV. They're developing an anthology western show called The Ballad of Buster Scruggs.
Of course they are.
I don't know who that is.
It's someone they made up.
Okay, because I thought it was some like old-timey western character, like a goddamn like
Buffalo Bill or something.
Buffalo Bill. No, Buffalo Bill's a real person, though. Like, you know, it's like a folk legend.
It's like Pecos Bill or something.
Yeah.
Pecos Bill's a good example. Tall tale characters.
Yeah.
Even though Buffalo Bill was a tall tale character, but like he was a real.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, I guess they're. Yeah, it's very early, but I guess they're gonna get this up and running. I guess they saw how good Fargo was, and like we should probably. They're turning our thing into, like, an awesome thing. We should probably get out of this TV business. And also, Hail Caesar didn't really set the world on fire last year, so...
I can't decide if I wanted to see that.
Yeah, it's a movie, like, I feel like I just was not in the right mood for.
Mm-hmm. Ever. The entire year.
Mm. Yeah, like, it's on HBO Go now, and yep. I'm like, I still don't know if I can be bothered with this.
There's way too many stars.
Yeah.
But yeah, but definitely keep an eye on that one. And yeah, so moving on to other news. Peter Dinklage has apparently joined the cast of Avengers Infinity War.
Come on, Puck. Come on, Puck.
Oh my God, that'd be amazing.
Yeah, but like he has a thing where it's like he won't star in like obscenely like short people roles.
Yeah.
Oh, you mean like an elf?
Well, he was like he was up and coming, but now he got to that level where he's like no more.
I like Rob, I like how Rob Liefeld tweeted out that he might be Pip, who's from like this like weird character from like the Infinity War comic.
I there's so many Infinity War comics. I don't know which one you're talking about. But I'll look it up because like, oh, that's unfortunate.
He's one of Adam Warlock's like crazy
like followers.
Yeah.
Yeah, man. I don't deal with like Miss the Cosmic so much. So it's like
I feel like he would Peter Dinklage would probably be like one of like Thanos's like
advisors
or something.
I feel like that makes sense, but it's really hard to tell since like he's a good actor. It's just like he could play anybody,
mm-hmm.
but it has to make sense. So it's not like it becomes like very distracting.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Homeboy's 3 feet tall. I don't know if he realizes that, but I mean it's a factor. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like there's a reason why Chris Tucker can't play George Washington. You know what I mean? Like, he can, but you have to address the elephant in the room. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
So, I don't know. I just hate pretentious shit like that. Like, I understand not wanting to be typecast, but at the same time, like, you're definitely a midget. You know, you're definitely a little person. So, like, I don't really know what you want.
I don't know. If his acting's amazing, would we just forget? Like, oh, shit.
But that's
like,
fine. But, like, Warwick Davis isn't like, I don't want to be in short roles anymore. Like, I'm not playing that goddamn leprechaun ever again. You know? Warwick Davis knows who butters his bread. You know what I'm saying?
Got a point.
So, other cast news. Woody Harrelson was officially confirmed to be in the Han Solo spinoff movie. They haven't said who he's playing, but he's going to be like a mentor to Han Solo.
Oh, God damn it. Why can't Han Solo just be like a cool dude who like gets into trouble?
Yeah.
He has to have a fucking like mentor? Come on.
Mm-hmm. Let me teach you how to smuggle.
Let me teach you about smoking weed and flying airplanes in space.
Let me show you my ship. It's called the Millennium Falcon.
Oh, sweet.
I was reading. There's like, I guess in the they're not canon anymore, obviously, but like the. There's like the Han Solo trilogy of books that came out like way, way back. Like it was like Han Solo, like Star's End and all these other ones. And I guess there's like he has like a mentor character in that one who kind of like was like, it almost sounds like he was like a like artful dodger sort of thing where it's like he just gathered these like kids to be like smugglers for him. It's like, come kids, you're going to learn how to be smuggling for me. So Woody Harrelson might be something like that, possibly, but... Anyway, other news. Curse of Chucky started filming this week.
Cult of Chucky.
Cult of Chucky, yeah. Curse of Chucky was the last one. Which Cult of Chucky is a direct sequel to that one.
Yeah, they set it up for a really interesting plot if they follow through all the way, so...
Pretty murder sick. In a box.
Well, basically, so the plot of Cult of Chucky is that the I can't remember her name from Curse, but she basically ends up in a mental asylum because of what happened in Curse. But then the doctors are like, we need to help her for therapy. They bring in like a good guy doll, but it's obviously Chucky, and so Chucky starts like wrecking havoc on like the asylum. But then Andy, the original protagonist, shows up like at the asylum and to like rescue the cursed Chucky character and then like stop Chucky once and for all or something.
Well, okay, I'm confused. Isn't this like the daughter of Chucky or something like that?
No, okay. Like it that you're kind of right with the whole curse of Chucky storyline where it got very strange. It's basically showing that he was like, I think he was a family friend.
Oh.
Like, it wasn't, like, he wasn't exactly her, her dad.
But it was just, like, someone she knew.
Yeah.
Okay, because last movie, Chucky, I saw, and...
Oh, he kidnapped the mom. Remember, he kidnapped the mom? Like, the whole thing was, like, he was a friend. He got, like, well, not a friend, but, like, he was, like, a neighbor or whatever, and he got, like, close to them. But Charles Lee Ray was a serial killer, so he killed the dad and, like, kidnapped the mom and held her hostage while she was pregnant with the girl. I just looked up. Her name is Nika.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Kind of forgot about that. But anyway, point of the story is that it's, like, it's not like a Michael Myers sort of thing where it's, like, blood ties. Like, I have to finish what I started. It's just kind of like, oh, this is an odd fucking twist of fate, you know? So... I like the idea of Andy being back. I loved his post-credit scene in Curse of Chucky. And I'm down with him Tommy Jarvis-ing shit in this one.
Mm-hmm.
Except hopefully not Tommy Jarvis-ing shit, like actually doing shit.
Yeah.
You know what I mean.
I'm a little confused because, like, did they ever address what happened to Tucky's, like, actual child that he had when he was a doll?
I think they kind of, like... See, it's strange, Chris, because for most of Curse of Chucky, I was like, okay, so they basically ignored Bride of Chucky and Seed of Chucky. But then, in the post-credits, Jennifer Tilly's there.
And she's back, and for, like, this, oh, shit. She's back for this one, too.
Yeah, yes, exactly. That's what, like, so, that made me confused about this, where it's like, what? Like, she's the trailer.
I know. So here's the thing. What it really comes down to is there's a lot that we don't know, and they did a really great job of, like, not backing themselves up into a corner by trying to answer every question. You know what I mean? Like, it's okay to have genuine cliffhangers and be like, what does this mean? I don't know. We're gonna have to find out in the next movie. Like, they don't have to explain away everything. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, okay.
So I'm hoping that in the next movie there's gonna be a lot of explanation, because here's the thing. Now Nika knows about Chucky, right? And 3 years or so have passed. So all she has is time to, like, think about this and put the fucking pieces of the puzzle together and do crazy, you know, loony bin asylum, like, detective work. You know what I'm saying? So we're gonna find out how these are all connected.
Mm.
But it's just we don't really know it right now.
I mean, it's nice because it's not, like, needed, but it's, like, it's nice if you, like, appreciate the story and the lore, I guess.
Oh, I can't wait to see how they're connected. I really can't, because when Jennifer Tilly showed up, I was like, oh, shit, like, this just got fucking real. Like, this is basically, like, you know, the creators or you know, the original, like, maestro of the Chucky series being like, yeah, I'm going to fucking wrap everything up. You know what I mean? Like, this is, like, the sort of... Chucky universe movie, you know.
So yes, I think they're shooting it now. It's gonna come out in the fall. So
yeah, I wonder what. I mean, genuinely, I wonder what Cult of Chucky means. You know,
mm-hmm.
like what is it? How's that gonna play out? Obviously, Jennifer Tilly's character is like a big fan of Chucky, but. Are there people who, like, worship him as a messiah? I don't know.
Is it going to be one of those weird meta things where it's, like, it's just Jennifer Tilly now, not, like, the character she played?
It's going to turn...
Yeah, I don't know.
It's going to turn into, like, The Following, except everyone... Like, people just get revealed to be, like, Chucky dolls. Like...
Well, I mean, or they, like, they all wish to become, like, dolls.
Yeah.
Yeah. So they got to continue, like... It's like... You know how, like, it was a voodoo curse that put him in the doll? Or sure whatever? Do. Like, what if it's, like, you had to, like, fucking be a serial killer in order to get, like, a passage into, like, doll life or something like that? It's just, like, you know, it's an untapped market, like, murder doll body transfer series. It's, like, there's another horror series that's kind of like Chucky, which is just Gingerbread Man.
Yeah. Well, that's like
Ginger Dead Man.
Ginger Dead Man. Wait, what'd you say, Joe?
I said that series gives zero fucks.
About, oh, like, totally.
We started fighting Evil Bong, like that's when it just like went to rails.
You said it.
But anyway, other actually some big action movie news. JCVD and Dolph Lundgren are going to be teaming up for a new action movie. And actually teaming up this time, not fighting each other like they've done it for like the last few times. It's a new movie called Blackwater, and Van Damme wakes up on a submarine that's a CIA black site, and he has to figure out how to get out, and then Dolph Lundgren's also there, and they like team up to escape this like submarine.
I already know the first line of dialogue from Dolph Lundgren. I'm also here. I read the script, so.
I think you co-wrote it.
Yeah, I did. No, I'm actually pretty psyched, man.
Yeah, like, it sounds kind of like Die Hard on a submarine with Dolph Lundgren and Jean-Claude Van Damme. Like,
what more could I ask for?
Yeah. Hopefully it's better than that Seagal movie where he was on a submarine. Was that Submerged or Submersed or whatever?
I think it was called Seagalled.
Seagalled. Steven Seagal is submerged.
Or it's like spelled like Seagalled.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know. I feel like martial artists, when you put them on a boat, it's like, it has to be a big boat, like a battleship, but like, if it's on a submarine, it's just like, well, okay.
It's a special, like, giant CIA submarine.
Yeah, you know what I mean? Unless it's like, you know, like, escape plan size boat, like, yeah. Then it's like, yeah, I get it, but then it's like, it's not probably, it's a low budget submarine interior shots, so it's gonna be like a decommissioned, like, Russian sub that they're like filming in, it's just like, wow, this is tiny.
Yeah, or just like a closet.
Yeah.
Like they're just going to put like light filters on and be like, oh, look, we're underwater. Submarines don't have windows. Why? Shut up.
I feel like Dolph's going to be doing a lot of like crouching and like he's like going to be like bumping his head a lot. Because it's like,
yeah, ow.
What?
Submarines are not like, he's pretty tall and the submarines are ramps.
I feel like he might exceed like the height requirement.
Yeah.
But like, What if like they're trolling us and they're just remaking like a modern day DOS boots and we just did not know, so now it becomes this like fucking like full, it's like a deep drama movie and like no one throws a kick at all. You're like, what?
It's Crimson Tide.
That would be a twist.
Turn your key.
Lock the door.
So, anyway, last bit of news for this week is that there's a possible Pacific Rim 2 details from, like, a set photo of a camera that has, like, a call list on it, and it seems like Rinko Kikuchi, Charlie Day, and Bernd Gorman are all back for Pacific Rim 2. Because their names are, like, popped up along with, like, their character names.
That's cool. And but no Charlie Hunnam, huh?
Nope. He's King Arthur now. Which
good career choice.
I'm sure it's going to work out great for him.
Yeah. You know how there's been such a demand for a King Arthur series.
Yeah, I forget what movie that's up against, but that's going to get destroyed this summer. But yeah, and then also people thought it seemed like Carl Urban's name was on the list too, but he tweeted out and said no, he's not in Pacific Rim 2, unfortunately.
Because he's too busy filming the sequel to Dread.
Yes,
huh?
Yes.
Oh, it's fun to dream.
Yep. But yeah, Michael Mori's back, guys.
Huzzah.
Who?
Rinko Kikuchi, Mako Mori.
Oh. Is she gonna have a dream sequence about like shoes?
Maybe.
God, I hope.
Who is she just compatible with this time? John Boyega?
I thought she found like a fight partner, like a love partner. I thought like she found like her like soulmate and just like, whatever, new guy.
He died off screen. Yeah, crushed, like, Jim's Danger's hand fell off and crushed him.
You know what's gonna do? They're gonna, like, Will Smith him, like, the Independence Day 2. Yep. Like, he's test running a new Jaeger.
There's gonna be, like, a giant velvet painting of Charlie Hunnam on the wall somewhere in Pacific Rim 2.
It's not even. They couldn't afford, like, the rights to get him. So they just got like screenshots from like
Sons of Anarchy.
Sons of Anarchy. He's like, when did he wear like a biker jacket?
It's like his headshot from the late 90s. Like, wait a second.
Yep.
That's when he just came out of the academy. Oh, okay.
But yeah, Pacific Rim Uprising. They're filming that right now. So that's it's real. It's happening.
Until it gets mysteriously canceled.
Also, I think for fucking, like, it would make sense if they wrote it right, but, you know, they won't. No. Is, what if, like, the brother from the first movie shows up? He's like, I'm alive! I just didn't fucking say anything.
Nobody looked for me.
I've been in, like, the Arctic.
They never found the bodies.
Yeah, it's just like, what? And then it's like, oh yeah, I joined also the aliens, so I'm on their team now.
They recovered my corpse, and now they're using me for evil.
They turned him into a kaiju.
Oh no, it's him, he's just giant.
Yep. He's still susceptible to like bullets and everything.
Just swatting at things. Fuck.
Yancey Beckett. Yancey.
Oh my god.
Man, Pacific Rim has the best names. Stacker Pentecost.
Was he Team Australia?
No, that was Idris Elba.
Oh, I just saw the Idris Elba.
There was a. Oh, why am I blanking on our favorite character, Max Martini's character, like whatever his name was.
I think there's a lot of Pacific Rim that I love, but there's a lot that I blocked out.
Anything that's not like kaiju Rope versus Jaeger fighting,
Not like Asian Ron Perlman,
Hannibal Chow.
Hannibal Chow. Any
Kirk
sort
Hansen,
of
that's what I was thinking of.
Any dialogue with Charlie Hunnam blocked out.
Yep.
Gonsville. And it's not like his fault. I loved him on Sons of Anarchy, but this was just like, just get in the robot.
Stop talking. Why aren't you robot fighting?
God damn it. Merge or don't. I don't care. Fuck.
And then Charlie Day just runs in.
Yeah.
As Charlie Day.
He does really the most like Charlie thing is just untest like brain connections with like a kaiju.
Look his brain up to like a weird computer kaiju brain.
Like, whatever, man. Safety. It's like, you can't read Charlie. Whatever. It just says, like, the gang fucking murders when a kaiju just shows up.
The gang starts World War III.
They
really need to make him, like, they just need to make him openly, like, huffing paint. You know what I mean?
Did you get those tattoos with lead paint?
Or just have Mac show up and never address it whatsoever. He's just kind of like standing in a huddle, and they're like, "Is that Mac?" Yeah, we don't talk about it. Huh?
He pilots like a robot that's like a beer bottle.
Yeah,
a beer Jaeger. Anyway, I think that's out next year, I believe. So we'll keep an eye on Pacific Rim Uprising. But that's it for news this week. So why don't we get into show and tell, and Joe, what have you been watching over the last week or so here?
So this is going to seem weird. I watched Sully again. My girlfriend hadn't seen it, so I watched it again. And I gotta say, it was pretty good the second time around.
Mm-hmm. So you kind of know what happens again for the third time?
Yeah, now I was really watching it for, like, the acting. I was like, oh.
Tom Hanks. That guy.
All day long.
He's going places.
Someone should give that kid give him an award. Man, I really didn't watch too much stuff, so. Pass.
Alrighty. Did you see anything, Chris?
A lot of bad decisions at MAGFest. That like on review, you're like no, but you're like whatever. Nah, not much. I haven't seen much. Caught up on halfway through the season on Netflix of It's Always Sunny, just to tie in the Charlie Day thing and the references. It's good that I waited because I've been I haven't watched them, so when I was like marathoning them, you know, it's
that's
nice.
That's the best way to watch that show.
Oh man,
it really is.
Yeah, like I appreciate it when it was on TV, so I can catch like you know like favorite episodes now and then. But like, man, when you just sit through and you just realize like the show has no like rhyme and reason. Like you can watch a show almost out of order and still get it.
Oh yeah, as long as you watch like the first like two seasons, so you know why everyone's like where they are.
Yeah.
You know
yeah.
what I mean. Like, with Danny DeVito and all that stuff, like, you could basically just pick it up anywhere. It becomes like Seinfeld.
Yeah.
Where it's like, wait a second, is this season 3, episode 4, or season 3, episode 5? No one has ever said that.
But another thing is, they did an episode where it's like a throwback. Like, I think episode 2 of season 11, I think? Yeah, it's an episode where, like, Frank gets his head hit, he falls out a window, mm-hmm. and, like, he time trips for, like, 10 years, so he just forgets yeah. things.
Great episode.
Great episode, especially when, like, they haven't done that. They haven't, like, deep referenced things since, like, the first season, so it's funny to think about, like, what they're talking about and, like, what everyone's been up to since then. So, I know, like, some shows, like, they cop out and they do that, like, three seasons ahead, and they do, like, a review show. What's it called when it's, like, they show a clip show?
Clip show, yeah.
Yeah. I know Seinfeld did it, like, every
Seinfeld
few seasons.
Seinfeld did it, yeah. Well,
a few times, yeah.
Did it all the time. They're like, sorry about the clip show. Like, it even became a joke, you know?
So that's why it's, like, nice that it's, like, this is kind of like a clip show, but kind of not. Like, it's very interesting. Because yeah. you got to have a lot of content in order to do a clip show. You can't do, like, a clip show in, like, a two-season thing. It's like, remember, like, the last season? Like, yeah.
Oh, yeah, I do remember that.
So you gotta reach a certain level before you do a clip show. But other than that, yeah, just watching that.
Mm-hmm.
What have you been watching, Zach?
A bunch of stuff. I'll keep it in FX territory, because, as I mentioned before, saw the first episode of Taboo, which is...
How was that?
I'm digging it. It's interesting. It's Tom Hardy as fuck. like if you like, it's like Tom Hardy at like maximum Tom Hardiness. Like if we're talking like Revenant Tom Hardy. Like just like,
does he speak in loud whispers?
Loud, like very like low whisper, like low threatening whispers and like grunting a lot. Just like that. That like Tom Hardy just like. But yeah, it's pretty cool. It's set in like 1814, and Tom Hardy's character James Delaney comes back from Africa. Everyone thought he was dead for 10, like he's been gone for like 10 years, and everyone thinks he's dead. But he comes back because his father died, and he's back to like claim his inheritance, which is like pretty much nothing except for like this like useless piece of land that's gonna be like actually worth something after the War of 1812 is done. And the East India Company wants that land, but then Delaney's like, no, I'm not selling it. So it's basically, it seems like the whole season is going to be basically like Tom Hardy versus the East India Trading Company. And Jonathan Pryce is like the head of the company. So it's like those two are going to be like fighting each other. But then also like Tom Hardy has a bunch of like other like random, like mysterious plans that he's like going on. Like he has like, a lot of like, secret plans he's gonna put. What he seems like he's trying to put in motion.
Yeah. He's no like from the thing. It's like he's not a Frank. What's his name? Like from House of Cards.
Oh, like Frank Underwood. No,
it just like I feel like his plans be like, well, I have an axe. I'm just gonna bust open this door and start hacking everyone in the face. Like,
not yet. I mean, hopefully that's coming. But like, yeah, this is more like just like him, just like denying business, like. Like the East India Company like sends him like a deal to like buy the land, he just like throws in the fireplace. It's like I'm not gonna look at that deal. But yeah, like a lot of, like Tom Hardy's character, like in every moment, it seems like whoever he's talking to, like he could like slit their throat at any moment. Like he's just super paranoid, crazy, like threatening, like typical Tom Hardy character.
Well, it's like the best of being his character from The Revenant.
Yeah,
like mixed
with
Mad
Max. It's like The Revenant character mixed with like Tarzan a little bit, because like it's like that weird like I've been in the jungle for decades and now I'm back. I might have mysterious jungle powers.
We had bets that he was going to turn into a werewolf, like, at the end. There's, like,
there,
oh, yeah.
There's, like, some really, like, there's, like, he has these, like, flashes of like, stuff that happened in Africa that's, like, it's like looks like lizard people or something. It's like it's this really bizarre, like just like flashbacks of like things that happened. And, at one point, like he's having like this like hallucination, like this in the morgue, and like dead bodies are just like coming back to life, and he's just like, yelling at them. It's like, go back to your ship. It wasn't my fault. It was your fault. Because he survived, like, the ship, like, sinking off the coast of Africa.
Oh, so he's, like, survivor's guilt.
A little bit. I think, yeah, like, survivor's guilt mixed with, like, just absolute insanity.
See, that's the thing. I couldn't tell if, like, he was magical, or he has, like, that, like, I'm secretly a werewolf, and I'm hanging out in London.
I don't think there's any, like, super, like, I don't think he's a werewolf, or, like, just, like, it's like, I don't think he's gonna turn, like, Penny Dreadful or anything, or it's gonna be, like...
That's what I was thinking.
Yeah.
I thought I was gonna get to that level.
Well, it's from the I think it's Stephen Knight who directed Tom Hardy and Locke, but they also worked together on Peaky Blinders. So like if you saw Peaky Blinders, like I think it's sort of similar to that, except like kind of like slightly more crazy.
I actually like Peaky Blinders. I didn't finish the like last two seasons, but It's good.
Because Tom Hardy was
it's super
for that, right?
He's not in the first season. He's in, like, the second season when he shows up as a brewer. And it's really weird, but it's, like, it's not the most Tom Hardy. It's, like, the beginnings of, like, okay, like go crazy now.
Gritty, crazy Tom Hardy.
He's just grumpy.
Yeah.
He's not, like, fucking madman style.
This one, like, yeah, like Taboo is, like... Pure crazy Tom Hardy that like you're dead, like that's like you're gonna love this show. Like he's always wearing like a top hat and like a long coat, just like walking around, just like stalking around like these like muddy docks and just like yelling at people and like threatening to kill everyone.
So it's a documentary?
Pretty much, yeah.
That's cool.
I guess they did it for People vs. OJ, but I guess like FX can just like decide if they want to drop F bombs, like
yeah, that's awesome.
I guess they pay like an early fee. I'm like, all right, we're gonna curse
like,
here.
Yeah, there's like
no, it's not even about the fee. It's just they do it because like you can curse on cable. It's just they don't do it for the advertising. They're afraid people aren't gonna want to advertise. But they know that like at a certain point, you know, they're getting the viewership.
Yeah.
So people are gonna want to advertise. Like it doesn't fucking matter.
Like yeah, you got Tom Hardy starring the show. Like everyone's like
exactly, yes, exactly.
People are gonna watch. So. Yeah, they dropped like 3 F bombs. I was like, you know, because it's DVR. So it's like this is direct from like this is like a like weird on demand like uncensored version. Like this is like
yeah.
Straight from the network from the broadcast. I'm like, whoa, okay.
Yeah, that's awesome.
But yeah, it seems pretty cool. Like I'd definitely say check it out. It's gonna be like eight episodes, so it's gonna be like it's a miniseries basically. But there's probably like Stephen Knight says there's probably gonna be season 2. At some point, so
why? Well, because Tom Hardy's in it.
Yep. Yeah, there I guess, you go. And it's like Tom Hardy and his dad and Stephen Knight like developed this show. Awesome. Tom Hardy's dad, who's named Chips Hardy.
Jesus wow. Christ.
But yeah, as far as movies go, I watched Jason Bourne, which nice. Was pretty terrible.
Yeah.
It
wasn't like. A total catastrophe, but it just wasn't like they're never going to reach those original three.
Well,
you know,
well, it's just like this is why you guys like, this is the story that brought you guys back. Like this is like the movie that like brought everyone back to like this is the return of like Matt.
Yeah, Paul. No, it was the money.
It's just like the plot is so stupid. Like it's just like
yeah,
it's like a bunch of people who have no clue of like how technology works, just like coming up with like a weird like tech plot of like. People just saying Snowden all the time, and the, like thinking that makes it like relevant to like
Snowden cyber.
It's worse than Snowden.
Cybersecurity, NSA.
And then there's like the whole main plot conspiracy plot is like there's some like social media network the CIA is like behind that like that like they're gonna like steal everyone's data or like surveil everyone 24/7 and like but then that. Doesn't go anywhere. Like
the problem with movies like this is that like they're Now, just humor me for a second. Like, Facebook does take money from the CIA. Like, they do work together. Like, you don't have to trust me on that. You can fucking Google it. But, like, it's cool because it kind of fits in with that, like, oh, Snowden is so trendy right now vibe, you know? Mm-hmm. Like, the whole, oh, the NSA thing, like, that was so huge. Like, I understand that they want to do that, but the problem is you have to make it more interesting than what actually happened in real life.
Yeah.
Which is this, where it's like, but it's like you said, it's basically like, ah, the FBI is in bed with this social media network. Oh, and what are they doing? I don't know, but isn't that creepy?
It's just like
that's the real life story. It's like, well, what are they doing? I don't know. I'm so pissed. Why? I don't, fuck it. I don't know. I'm just pissed.
Like Riz Ahmed from Rogue One, who's like, he's like the CEO of this social media company. Like, he's like describing what it is and just like saying these buzzwords of like, it's like quantum computing, haptic feedback, like just like saying, yeah, just saying, yeah, random techno gibberish that makes no sense. And then it's like,
oh man, I need to write this script. I better pick up an issue of Wired at the newsstand.
Yeah.
Like, that was basically.
And there's other just like, somehow they hack a computer because a phone is next to the computer. Like, it's like, I'm in this phone, now I'm in this computer.
Yeah.
I ping this computer from the phone, and now I'm gonna call that phone that I hacked into somehow.
Wait, does Jason Bourne do this?
No, it's like, they have...
Everyone else
they
sucks,
have, they have,
but Jason Bourne.
They have Alicia Vikander from, like, Ex Machina and stuff. She's like the CIA, it's like IT guru, who's just, like, hacking everything and trying to, like, find out what, like, find Jason Bourne. And then, I think it's Nikki from Julia Stiles from like the last couple movies. Is like, she's the Snowden. She leaks everything. She leaks like the CIA's folder called Black Ops onto the internet.
Oh my god!
Like CIA just has a folder called Black Ops on their server that has all the Treadstone and all those things, and she just leaks that on the internet.
Well, I like the skeezy hacker who like sells her out.
Yep.
Like, that was fucking great. I was like, yeah, for sure make him more of a cliche, and for sure make him more European.
Yep.
Like, he said that, like, I'm in a, like, hacker's loft. Like, what the fuck are you talking about?
Yeah.
Like, it's so bad.
Yeah.
It's so bad. Don't get me wrong. Like, listen, I saw it in theaters. The action sequences were respectable. You know what I mean? It was a fun action movie, but I was just like, oh, come on.
Like,
you know?
There's a good chase in Greece, and there's a good chase in Las Vegas, but in between, there's not really action sequences.
It was clunky. Yeah.
It's like most of the middle is like people like walking. That's like the action sequences are just like Jason Bourne like walking behind someone for like 30 minutes. Or like Tommy Lee Jones like tracking people on a monitor, being like, follow him there, follow him there, follow him there. Yeah, it's such a mediocre this is the big return. Like, Jason Bourne probably just stayed hiding. Like, I think Bourne Legacy is even better than this one, because at least that had like,
oh wow,
that at least they had like the fun of like the crazy insanity of like the chems and stuff. Like, that stuff's fun. Like, this has like, this is just like more, like by the numbers, like just like, I guess Jason Bourne's back. I guess we're gonna do some things. Like, so I don't know. I don't know if it's worth watching. Like, I probably just watch the original three again.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, you're never gonna reach that level again. But like, whatever, just keep pumping them out.
Yeah, hopefully this is the last one, because I don't know. They kind of set up a sequel, but like, I don't really want to watch it anymore. But yeah, I also saw Kubo and the Two Strings, which is the latest from Laika, and that was awesome. I would say it's probably second to like Paranorman, just because I enjoyed Paranorman's like topic more, like their like homage to like horror movies more. But this was an awesome, like, this is like their like homage to like martial arts movies, or like Crushing Tiger, Hidden Dragon sort of things, like. Or like video, like, it feels like a video game, kind of like Legend of Zelda, where it's just like we have to like go on this quest to get these three different objects. But yeah, like I don't know how they like you know, like it's you can't even like conceive of, like how they make the stop motion for this. There's like a crazy like crushing tiger level sword fight in this movie, but it's stop motion. It's like how did they even make this? It's like because it's so smooth, like it's CG smooth, but it's stop motion. It's like it's insanity. But yeah, just like awesome, like. It feels like Zelda because like they're like going to like dungeons and like fighting like dungeon bosses or like a giant skeleton at one point and like.
But like okay, I don't know what his quest was because it was like the most vague like what's happening, you know what I mean? Like they didn't do that marketing.
Well, yeah. So like the plot is like Kubo, his father was a famous samurai. His mother was like from like I guess they are gods, but like she's like. Her father is like the moon king, so he's basically the moon. But like she like left her family in the night sky to like marry Kubo's father, and then but then like her evil sisters came and like chased him down. But like basically, Kubo has to stay inside. Like he can't be out at night, or his grandfather will find him. So he's basically hidden for his whole life. But then he ends up like outside one night, and so his grandfather knows where he is, and so he has to like go find this. Three pieces of his armor that will, like, be able to, like, give him enough power to, like, fight his grandfather.
So, it's just a really fucked up family reunion movie.
Pretty much, like, yeah, it's, like, very crazy, like, what, very crazy family.
What kind of commentary are the French saying about, like, the Asians here, where just, like, fuck it, like, they'll kill each other. Like, mm-hmm. It's, like, regicide,
yeah.
patricide, like, Jesus Christ.
I will say, like, the only really weird thing about it is, like, definitely, like, Matthew McConaughey just sounds, is, like, so out of place. Like, this, like, Japanese, like, folklore story, like, or, like, not, I mean, it's not, like, actual Japanese folklore, but it feels like it, but, like, yeah, just, like, Matthew McConaughey just being, like, Matthew McConaughey.
Yeah.
He's a samurai beetle. It's just, like, this never sounds right.
This sounds like a Matthew McConaughey, like, stone story. He would just be, like, man, that time I was a beetle. Heh heh. Like, what?
Beetle Samurai, remember that? In Japan?
The country we won from the war. Like, that's McConaughey.
Yeah. Because, like, definitely, if you like the other Laika movies, I'd say definitely check Kubo out. It's pretty awesome. It's like their, like, action-adventure entry. It's definitely a huge step up from the Box Trolls. I think that was, like, 1 or 2 years ago. Because that was... All right, it was charming, but it was like that's like the it's like they're definitely like their lesser movie of all of them so far.
Well, the Box Trolls just was it was too European.
It was very like felt like British. Like, it was very like Wallace and Gromity kind of, but like
yeah,
not really that funny. Like it was just sort of like, all right, these are like I get what they're doing. I get what the Box Trolls are. There's not really a story, but.
They're just a bunch of trolls that live in boxes. I don't need to see the movie. I understand the whole concept. Yep.
This probably would have been like a charming like short film or something. Like this should have been like a short film before Kubo or something. But yeah, and then I also saw two movies that had like crazy, insane central performances in them. I saw Arsenal, which is I think we talked about it a couple weeks ago, but it's Nicolas Cage reprising his role from Deadfall. The 1983 classic, Eddie King, who, spoiler alert for Deadfall, got his face put into a deep fryer at the end of that movie and died. So I don't know. I feel this feels like some sort of like alternate universe, I guess, where like Eddie King became like a mob boss or like crime boss in like Mississippi. Because the movie takes place in Biloxi, Mississippi, which I guess that doesn't seem like a really hotbed for like. Criminal activity, I guess, but apparently it is in this movie. But then you have, Adrian Grenet from Entourage. Like, his brother gets kidnapped by Eddie King, and he has to raise a bunch of money to get him back, and then he basically teams up with John Cusack, who looks like he's, like, cosplaying as Steven Seagal Lawman, to, like, work his way through, like, these, like, criminal, like, flunkies and, like, figure out where his brother's being kept. But yeah, I mean, besides Nicolas Cage, like, this movie is, like, a very, like, generic, like, crime thriller kidnapping movie. Like, it's nothing really stands out about it except for Nicolas Cage. And even Nicolas, like, this is not, like, I was a little bit disappointed by, like, the Nicolas Cage-ness of it, because if you've ever seen Deadfall, at least, like, the montage of Nicolas Cage in Deadfall, like, not, like, he, like, that is his most batshit insane, like, coked-out character of all time, and, like, Eddie King in this movie is, like, comparably low-key, like, he's still, like, snorting coke, but he's, like, he's not any, like, he's not, like, freaking out in hotel rooms or, like, changing his voice, like, 30 times during a scene. Like, he's just, like, he's just sort of, like, mumbly threatening a little bit. So it was a little disappointing on Nicolas Cage for it. Like, it's definitely, like, the cagiest role in a while, but, like, it's not, it's not, like, it's probably for, like, hardcore Cage connoisseurs. Like,
I'm trying to think, like, he hasn't Nicolas Cage had a Cage rage in, like, a long time.
I mean, the best one recently still is still Bad Lieutenant, like.
Yeah, yeah. And that was, like, a while ago, which yeah. is unfortunate. So it's like he only has a few in him where he can just be, like, all out screaming and being, like, nonsense, and it still makes sense, you know? Yeah.
I mean, this is still pretty good, weird Nicolas Cage. It's not, like, the magnum opus of craziness that I think everyone was expecting because he was playing his Deadfall character again. Like, he does have some, like, really, like, there's a couple, like, stand-up parts where, like, at one point, like, he's, like, reading a, like, he murders, like, his brother shows up from, like, I don't know, New Orleans or something, and, like, Eddie, like, just beats him, like, just to, like, kill Eddie, but then Eddie turns on him and kills him, but then, like, later, like, next scene, like, he's, like, reading a letter to, like, his dead brother. He's, like, he wrote a letter to, like, his dead brother and be, like, I don't know, why'd you come and try to kill me, brother? I just wanted to, we're family, I just wanted to be a business. it's like this, like, really weird, like,
I feel like
he's like his dead brother that he's murdered savagely.
It's like these two beautiful things have to come together. Like, an opportunity for Nick Cage to, like, rant and just be like, that wasn't in the script, Nick, right? And then the script itself has to be so kind of bland that, like, Nick Cage just goes, and that's where I go insane for 10 minutes. Like, okay.
Yeah.
You know, like, film it.
And also, like, also the disappointing thing is, like, Nick Cage shows up in the beginning of the movie, and then, like, he doesn't show up again for, like, almost an hour into the movie. So there's, like, an hour of, like, this Nicolas Cage-less that's just, like, Adrian Grenet being bland, like, walking around, like, trying to find his brother. And John Cusack, for, like, looking like Steven Seagal Lawman, like is, like, super bland as well. Like, he should be as crazy as Nicolas Cage, but he's just, like, bored sleepwalking his way through this movie. Because, like, they've been, like, John Cusack and Nicolas Cage have been seemingly, like, competing, like, in recent years, like, who's the craziest? Like, it's like whatever movie Nicolas Cage turns down, John Cusack joins. But, yeah, like, he is just, like, he's completely useless in the movie. Like, he doesn't even, like, John Cusack doesn't even factor into, like, the, like, final shootout climactic sequence of this movie. He just sort of like, well, good luck, and just leaves.
Drives off.
Yeah.
I think I saw that shot from the trailer, and I was like, this is the, like, they're not paying me enough to be
an undercover cop. He's like, this is too much for me, I'm out.
Is he saved from a car?
Yep.
I knew it. Like, I fucking knew it. It's in the trailer.
He's pretty much in a car for, like, most of this movie. Like, he's definitely in full-on, like, Seagal mood. Like, I'm gonna sit in a car or sit in a chair. I'm not gonna, like...
Yeah, I'm not standing.
Yeah.
They're not paying me enough to stand. And it's like, ah. Like, but I get it, because this movie, it basically had, like, 1 week of marketing. And it's just like, well, it's not trying to market that.
They put the trailer and said, like, it's out next week.
Yeah.
It's like, character from Deadfall.
Yeah, that's why when I ended up tweeting that dude, I didn't know, like, he would reply right back. Like, yeah. Oh, shit.
Like, that's, like, if Nicolas Cage was not in this movie as Eddie King, like, this movie would have gone, like, no one would...
Under the radar.
Yeah, like, no one would have known this movie ever came out until, like, you'd be, like, flipping through, like, Netflix and be like, Arsenal, what the hell is this?
Like, why do they call it Arsenal? Do they have an Arsenal?
No one has an Arsenal. I don't know why, like, yeah, no one has, like, there's no, like, there's, like, two guns in this movie, or three guns.
Oh, jeez. See, I thought, like, no, they shoot enough people as if they were carrying an arsenal.
No.
Or something to that, you know, to earn that, no?
The title makes absolutely no sense. It has nothing to do with anything in the movie.
I feel like they just opened up, like, the action, like, thesis, the thesaurus, and was just like, I don't know, arsenal? All right, use that.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't like if it shows up on like Netflix or something, I would say maybe watch it just if you can fast forward to like Nicolas Cage parts, but other than that, I wouldn't seek it out as like because you have to like rent it from like Google or something right now. But if it's free, I would say maybe watch it.
It sounds like a movie that like you gotta be aware of something about it to get you in, either through generic action or
if you're a Cage connoisseur and you like
just to see his movies.
Yeah. And lastly, I rewatched The Room because I just got the book The Disaster Artist, which Greg Sestero, who played Mark in that movie, wrote. It's like behind the scenes, like what actually happened on that movie. So I figured before I'd read that book, I should probably like refresh myself on what the room, like what happens in the room.
Oh, Jesus.
Yep, that is a movie. That's a movie from like another dimension.
It is like an alien tried to make us a soap opera, yeah. And it only understood like very basic concepts.
Well, I think Tommy Wiseau is an alien. Like, that's the only explanation for like what is going on in this movie. Like, he just absorbed like English from like an alien computer or something. And it's just like just saying phrases and not knowing what they mean. But yeah, I love there's like if you go and read the trivia like IMDb, there's like so much great trivia. Like someone wrote like. Everything, like, the entire, like, middle 45 minutes of this movie has no bearing on the plot.
The football scenes and them hanging out and shit?
Yeah, the football scenes, like, they said everything, from the second sex scene to the birthday party, like, everything between them has no plot.
I can't believe I forgot there was a second sex scene. Like, one is awkward enough.
I think there's three, because, like, there's two with Tommy Wiseau, but they just reused footage from the first one because like
okay.
I just didn't want to do it again. So
he's just, okay, yeah, because it's like
yeah, like because like he shot so much footage of the first one, he's just like they just had enough for like a second weird sex scene, and the second one is with Mark.
Yeah,
like the fidelity sex scene.
The fidelity scene. I was like, see, like that to me is just like part of the story.
Yeah,
but like Tommy Wiseau making love twice is just kind of like what?
Yeah. But yeah, all the football, like I think the football is my favorite part of that movie. Just like knowing what football is. I think my favorite, like all time favorite scene in that movie is like they're in like the hallway, like they're like 2 feet, 2 inches from each other playing football in the hallway, and then that one guy shows up and like is telling, because like there's like this couple that just shows up and just has sex on like Tommy's couch. Or Johnny's couch whenever they want, and Johnny's just like, "Oh, they're my friends. It's all right.
It's all right. Yeah, yeah."
And
totally, it's like
this is just like, "Oh, they come by and have sex on our couch. It's fine."
But it's so avant-garde about shit like that. Like,
but like this friend who has sex on their couch, like, just is like telling them about like how he left his like boxer shorts on the couch, and that Johnny's just like, "Oh, this is so hilarious." And then Mark shows up and like kind of like playfully shoves this guy, and like he just falls, like it's like he like Mark like shoved him out of wind, like just like super hard shoved him, but he didn't. It was just like this like very like playful light shove, and he just falls in like these trash cans, and it's just like everyone's just like, "Oh my god, Mike, are you okay? That was such a hard fall." It's just like what is happening? And then they play football in, like, their suits, and they're just, like, Denny, like, they're, like, the weird orphan who just, like, shows up, and it's, like, creepily, like, it's, like, his, like, first line, one of his first lines is, like, "I just like to watch you guys," and he just shows up, like, he has a key to their apartment, just, like, shows up whenever he wants. He's just, like, "Oh, man, wouldn't it be crazy if we played football in our suits?" Then it was, like,
then they do.
Yeah, let's go!
You know what the weird thing about this movie? Like,
the one weird thing, Chris?
Well, okay, just one thing. But, like, the plot is, like, a paragraph.
Yep.
Like, really, the whole plot is, like, guys hang out, guy gets betrayed, guy kills guy.
Beyonce sleeps with friend, and then Johnny finds out. That's the plot.
That's the plot.
Yeah.
But it goes, it's just, like, it's just the magic of how he convinced people to, like, go on with it, you know? Like, there's no one grows from it. No one, like, there's no, like, arc. like it's a fucking crazy movie.
"Y'all betrayed me. I'm done with this world."
Bang.
I like before he, like right before he commits suicide, he like humps the dress. He just, and this like flashbacks to, like Lisa through the whole movie, and just like it's just Tommy Wiseau just like, oh this dress, I'm going to rip it in half because of my rage.
I love the story though. After like the legacy is way more popular than the movie, yeah. But like I think it took him like 4 years to realize his movie sucked. Like it's a joke, that's, you know, like
for him to, like a bracelet. There's like a...
yeah. I think like the first year he was like showing it, people were just like, "What is this? How much does this cost you?"
I love there's like another bit of trivia from IMDb where like they have all those like scenes on the roof. They're all like blatantly green screen. But like they did it, they actually had a roof they could have filmed on. Tommy was just like, "No, we're not going. Like, I don't want to film on a roof. Like, I don't want to film on an actual roof. I want to film on a green screen roof."
Oh, he probably has like the set. He wants to use it.
Yeah, but they had like an actual like, I think they had like an actual like San Francisco like roof they could have filmed on and made it like actual like authentic. And he's just like, "No." And then apparently early in the script writing, like, Tommy wanted to, like, make Johnny, like, secretly a vampire, and he would, like, fly off at the end of the movie in a car. And then, like, everyone's just like, you can't afford that. You can't afford to have a fly car. So he's just like, alright.
That's hilarious that they're like, I don't know, lie to him.
Yes.
Because it's like, yeah, if he had his way, they'd be flying off in, like, a fucking trash can car.
But, yeah, man, like, that is just, like, a... Tommy Wiseau's performance in that movie is just, like, a singular, like, just, like, there's nothing else like that ever. Like,
but here's the thing. It's a movie that inspires people because you don't need to have talent. You can just make a movie.
Yeah. There's a bunch of great, like, definitely go on IMDb and just, like, look at, like, trivia. Like, there's a bunch of great trivia, like, how many times they say, like, oh, hi, or, like, the phrase, like, oh, hi, or, like, the phrase, like, he's my best friend, or, like, something like, oh, my good friend, or something, like, because they keep using these same phrases, like, over and over again in the movie. Like, these bizarre, like, English, like, English, like, phrases that no one would actually say. They never say like fiance, they say like future wife. Like, they're always like Tommy's always like, my future wife Lisa. Oh, hi Mark. Oh, hi doggy.
hi doggy part, I love.
the 20-second like just like rabbit fire like goes into the flower shop and it's just like oh hi, you have roses? It's like, yeah, here you go, Johnny. You're my favorite customer. Oh, hi, doggy. Bye. just 20 seconds. Just like, what? Like, your brain, like, it's so fast. Your brain can't even process like what happened. Just like, what just happened? Like, who was that? But yeah, it's crazy, and it definitely went. You should read the book, and I think the book isn't actually going to get turned into a movie itself. Like, James Franco is going to make a movie about the book.
Like, it's like in halfway during like production. It's almost done.
They've been working on it for a while. Like, I think James Franco is playing Tommy Wiseau. So, but yeah, so that's what I've been watching for this past week or so. So I think that's going to do it for this week's podcast. Definitely head over to the site. We got a bunch of stuff. All of our stuff's up there. We announced we're going to be doing a Way of the Dragon commentary at the end of this month for Chinese New Year. Get some classic Bruce Lee versus Chuck Norris action going on.
Let me know who wins this fight.
Yeah. So yeah, all this stuff's up on our site, and then you think anything else we think of when you talk about Chris?
Nah, we covered a lot. In fact, we got to the room level of crazy, so...
Yes. I think we start talking about the room, I think the sign you need to stop. But,
yeah.
Yeah, so for Chris and Joe, I'm Zach, and we will see you next week.
For more Everything Action, visit everythingaction.com. Email us at contact@everythingaction.com. Facebook.com/everything.action. Twitter.com/EVAction. everythingaction.tumblr.com. And search for us on the iTunes Music Store and Stitcher.com.